Good evening, everyone. It's our midweek service. I believe some of us are just returning from work or ending work from the office. I want to welcome you to tonight's service. It will be refreshing. It will be strengthening for every one of us. All right, so right now it's time for us to just edify ourselves, you know, and get spiritually ready for tonight's service together as a family. All right, could you just go ahead and just speak in other tongues wherever you are? Go ahead and just speak in other tongues, edify yourself. Limbranosh karagados kelagadosa mando libra kadosa ale keshi parogodosa makaragadasa. Ekozo mandola bratosa fekara gadosha. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, for he who speaks in the tongue does not speak to men, but he speaks to God. So right now we're talking to God. Lekaba rodosho kadosa. So he says, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks hidden things. In the spirit he speaks mysteries. In the spirit he speaks amazing truths. Hallelujah. So go ahead and just edify yourself this evening. Lenanosa, talking to your Father, talking to God. Let's go ahead, talk to God this evening. Let's go ahead, refresh ourselves. When we speak in other tongues, there is a refreshing. There is a refreshing. So go ahead and just get refreshed talking to your Father right now. Lenanoso manoso nandorodo shakaya ragadosa ekaza prada gadisa manasa pokoso mandarosha ekaza prada gadoso nanasa sabadosa ekabaka bakondo lebra kadeka ekoso manto lembra nanasha kadosa badosa endoroso makozo vara gadosha meneke duso elekuso manoso mando legedosa o gadosa. Come on, talk in other tongues, knowing you're talking to your Father. Enaroso manda legadosha arokozo manta lekadosa ekonda lekradosa enkosa manta yara dadosa kadesa. We speak to God and not to man. We speak to God and not to man. Elam branda la brakasha tayaragadosa. We talk to our Father. Le manda le kregoso fakado zunto. Lembro no sufredorosa. Eko shamanda la gradesa. Ekuzo mento la branta la grotto. Oh, we are refreshed talking to Jesus. Manda lebroso, refreshed talking to the Father. Embranoso pradeka bakota la credenza. Refreshed, refreshed, refreshed in the Holy Ghost. Lenanoso makando lembranosa. No matter how today has been for you, just go ahead, release yourself right now. Release yourself. Lendoruso fradosa for a refreshing. Release yourself for a refreshing. Halakaya gadosa entoluso manda legreso eka bradosa. Come on, go ahead, settle it in your spirit, settle it in your heart right now. And you settle, 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 settle. Lekando legradosa ancruso macronto legredosa ekoso. Receive strength right now in the name of Jesus. Receive strength wherever you are. Lekusha manosa manesa aloko supra dosa canderebosa enonosa mecando legradosa. Come on, speak out those refreshing moments. Speak it out, speak it out in the Holy Ghost. Lecada bata la crenta legredosa o manuso mencando luso queredosa o marusa. Let's uncover things in the spirit together. O marusha manenda nanasa tayaradaroso ecoso faradosa enonoso mento ligradosa ecosa. That idea, le nananata le kradosa, enonoso tuya ragadosa. That truth, le mroduso pregedadoso, enkonto le kranosha kadosa. Let's uncover, let's uncover. We speak hidden things, we speak them out, we speak them out, we speak mysteries, we speak them out. Le kusha mako rododoso, enonoso, strength, strength, strength in your inner man, in the name of Jesus. Strength, strength. strength. You are not stressed. No. In the name of Jesus, no stress. You are strengthened from within, refreshed from within. In the name of Jesus, lando la brataya rakada sekeira dosa limpru sofento lebrasa iprosho nigadasa kadise telekita lakadosa omaruso menesa manosa leku sofredo dosa ola rosa mantala brosa renewed from within leno nono nonsa restrengthened nekira gadoso kidisa manoso leku so manto dosa. You are the anointed. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The life of God is in you. The life of God is in you. The strength of God is in you. Le marabata lampro nonoso encana nosa. I declare burdens are lifted at this period, at this time, right now. Whatever burden in your heart is lifted in the name of Jesus. Le koso, there is a refreshing for you. There is a refreshing for us. There is a refreshing. Nekaya la gado sekera rosa. Onta lampra nanesa paduso. O faruso kenabrosa. You are assisted right now in your emotion. Assisted right now in your bodies. Assisted right now. Enanoso kodoso pregisa. Even in your spirit. Lendoruso taya rado shikaya radosa. Nengadosa. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody needs to keep saying, I'm anointed. I'm refreshed by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. We're going into the word. I'd like you to go ahead and declare that the light from the word fuels you in the name of Jesus. You receive light. You receive light. You receive answers in the name of Jesus. Where reverence speaks to and where he does not speak to, the Spirit of God gives you answers in the name of Jesus. You are ministered to tonight in the name of Jesus. Le kambara kadoso, spiritually, you are fed supernaturally. Le kandolika. You receive light in the name of Jesus. Light. The entrance of the word gives us light. We receive light. We receive illumination. Glory to God. We receive supernatural understanding. Knowledge. Come on, give God some good praise tonight. Give him some good praise tonight that you won't sit to hear and not hear nothing. But you would hear the truth. You would hear what you need to know tonight in the name of Jesus. More than anything, you will be ministered to. Thank you, my Father. We give you praise tonight. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Refreshing tonight. Refreshing tonight. Refreshing tonight. Refreshing tonight. Lendoro conta la bronto. Icaruso manda le gradosa. Refreshing tonight. Lendoruso. Oh, glory to God. I'm refreshed. Hallelujah. I'm refreshed. Somebody needs to say, you are refreshed. Say what you want. That idea comes quickly in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. No.
love is kind. Your love is patient. You fill my heart, oh, with so much peace and joy. Sing it one more time. Say, your love is kind. Say, your love is kind. Your love is patient. You fill my heart, hey, with so much peace and joy. Oh, sing it one more time. Say, your love. Your hidden glory in creation.
Hallelujah, praise God, glory to God. Good evening everybody, I believe we're good. Glory to Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. We give him praise, he's worthy, worthy of our praise and worship, worthy of our love. We believe we receive every prayer, and we thank you Father for the privilege, you know, to minister to you in worship. Minister to you in praise. We give you honor. We give you praise. Amen. Praise God. So, We've been talking a little bit about the character of love. We've been, you know, discussing the character of love. You know, and then it's quite interesting. I believe there's a build up, so please, I want to encourage you to listen to the last few services. It gets better. So we're looking at the 13th chapter of Romans again. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. So we should pick it from the 8th verse, but I'll pick it from the 6th verse. I'm using the NLT this evening. Romans 13 verse 6 says, pay your taxes too. Okay, he's talking about authority. Maybe just pick it from the first verse. All right. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in position of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good, but if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. So 6 says, pay your taxes too, for these same reasons. For government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. I believe this sounds very, very familiar. You know, I believe it sounds very familiar. All right. I believe that it's important that we have this in mind. All right. Again and again and again. All right. So I'm sure the 6th to the 7th verses have some level of click because of the King James that says, give honor, all right, to those that honor is due unto. So it's very, very, very important we get this. Now, there's a whole lot of contention, you know, as to which aspect of authority one, you know, must obey and not. But like I said, was it Sunday or last Wednesday service? You know, that it's within the limits to which, you know, the word of God is not altered, all right, and to which, all right, your faith also is not affected. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all right, could have had this verse. Of course, this verse wasn't written by then. Could have had this verse quoted to them, that guy, just quickly obey now. That's what the Bible is saying, all right, but we know that that's not what the Bible is saying, all right. Same also for Peter, you know, and the rest of the apostles. If you remember Peter and John chapter 3 or book of Acts, they were, you know, taken all because they had healed the man at the beautiful gate and they were preaching the name of Jesus. And chapter 4 says they were charged not to ever preach in that name. But Peter boldly told them, you guys, whether we should obey God or we obey man, judge for yourselves. All right. So Peter could have just, you know, had this verse. Once again, the verse was not written by then. But Peter could have had the verse, all right, quoted to him, assuming there was that verse at this particular time, you know, of event. So we have to understand, all right? So how do you juggle? You need to understand the parameters of your faith, the parameters of, you know, the expressions, you right, of your faith, those parameters, and then with the extent to which, you know, you and government will relate on those levels. So verse 8 now, you know, gives the lining point. Owe nothing to anyone. Owe nothing, all right? Owe nothing to anyone except for the obligation, or your obligation, to love one another. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. So if there's something we owe people, that's the love walk. All right. You owe people the love walk. All right. So this season, at work, all right, while you do business, you owe people, all right, the love walk. I mean, it is what it is. All right. It is the love walk. So Bible keeps saying, if you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of the law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one thing: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. So love is a fulfillment of the requirements of the law. Or love fulfills the requirements of the law. So I'll pick it again from the 8th verse. Owe no man nothing, or owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. Owe nobody, All right, so that means, once again, what we owe everyone is love. On Sunday, we said that the opposite of love is not necessarily hate. The opposite of love is selfishness. Maybe you're wondering, how so? You know, love is sacrificial. All right, Bible says, you know, by this will men know that I'm a disciple when you love one another. Remember that? Remember also that Jesus said, no greater love than this for a man to lay down his life for friends. So love is sacrificial. Love is sacrificial. Love is sacrificial. Love goes out of its way. All right. Love goes out of its feelings. Love goes out of itself. Okay. Why should you forgive someone who hasn't even said sorry? It means you are going beyond how you feel. You're going beyond the wrong that was done to you. You're going beyond the hurt, all right, or whatever else you might have experienced, all right, and you're stretching beyond that and saying, I will love this person, okay? So, yes, you might say, but hate is the direct opposite of love. Yes, we grew up knowing that. But the other part is, you know, while love gives forth, selfishness holds back. So, hate will come from that. Hate is having meditated on the wrong done to you, the wrong done to self, all right? Hate meditates on, this is what they did to me. This is what she did to me. This is what he did to me. All right. So hate, bitterness, anger, wrath, they all now start springing out of that thought on self. That, you know, that evil, you know, you believe that was done to you, that harm that you believe came to you, you know, you have to, you know, simply and easily understand that. So selfishness, that self-consciousness, that's, you know, and like I said, Bible is not against, you know, you loving yourself, all right? Bible is just teaching, and we're going to get there one after the other, all right? That we need to learn to prefer the other person. Prefer, put the other person first, all right? As often as it lies within your power, be at peace with all men, all right? It's as often, as much as it lies within your power. Someone else might not make it easy, but you're doing your best. You're doing all that you can to be at peace. You've reached out. You've done all you want to do. Hey, you could leave it there. All right. If the Holy Ghost asks you to go further, maybe then you can. All right. But you've done the things you believe within your capacity you can. Bless God. So once again, owe no man nothing. All right. Owe nothing to anyone except your obligation. So the NLT uses the word obligation. 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 Except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of the law. If you love your neighbor, so there are many things we won't need to tell anybody who walks in love. I mean, prices were super hiked, all right, this season, and everybody, a whole lot of people rather, or maybe some, you'll find that's a good opportunity to make excess money, all right? Now, if everyone is walking in love, there's an extent to which prices will not be increased. If everybody, you know, is walking in love, there's an extent to which we will not be hiking. All right, because you're considering the other person. Okay, so if we take it up, how do they make it? How do they pay? How do they? And everybody thinks, okay, how do I consider the other person? All right, how do I? All right, because the love walk drives the point. It drives as a business person. All right, it drives as a career person. It drives you as a parent. It drives you. All right, even within the household, and then your kid is competing against the other kid. The other kid all of a sudden doesn't become the devil or, you know, become the enemy. The other kid is just the other kid, all right? And it's sports, it's competition. Someone will come first, someone second, or third, and all of that. So you don't have to now boo someone else's child and then demoralize the person's child. So the person's child has to fail so that your own child will do well. All right, that's, you know, us now taking, you know, children's sports beyond what it really is, children's sports, all right? So you might say, yeah, in our family, we play to win. I understand that, but it shouldn't be at the expense of someone else's emotional stability, if you get what I'm saying. So it says that love is an obligation, all right? So if you love your neighbor, you fulfill the law. For the commandment says, don't commit adultery, don't commit murder, do not steal, do not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. 10 now says, love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of the law. Love does no wrong to others. All right. So that's NLT. All right. The Passion Translation says, love makes it impossible to harm another. Love makes it impossible to harm another. Love makes it impossible to harm another. So love fulfills all that the law requires. NIV says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. God's Word Translation says, Love never does anything that is harmful to a neighbor. Love never does anything that is harmful to a neighbor. Therefore, love fulfills Moses' teachings. Amplified Classic. Love does no wrong to one's neighbor. It never hurts anybody. Therefore, love meets all the requirements and is a fulfillment of the law. I'll take that again. Love does no wrong to one's neighbor. It never hurts anybody. Love, therefore, meets all the requirements and is a fulfillment of the law. So find that, you know, it's we're being taught that love is an obligation. So we owe it to everyone to walk in love. We just owe it to people, right? To be at peace, you owe it to people to walk in love. You owe it to people to do, all right, the command of God. So, but once again, you need to remind ourselves, all right, that Romans 5:5 says, it is the love of God that has been shared abroad in our heart. So it's not human love. It's not something you and I, all right, can just whip up in our own capacity and say, hey, so I'm going to get it done. No, it's done only, all right, and primarily by the capacity of the Spirit of God within us. And the good news, all right, is that the Spirit of Lord of the Lord is in us. So we'll skip quickly to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're learning and we're looking at the character of love, all right? The character of love. We're learning and looking at the character of love. So 1 John 4. One thing I want to point out at this point is the fact that while every one of us expects someone else to learn to walk in love, all right, we need to remind ourselves that love is our own obligation. Yes, it's the obligation of every believer. So why I say, but that person could have walked in love, and this person could have walked in love, and that person could have walked in love. You also might need to, for your own sake and on your own, walk in love. Even if all you have to do is do not take account of the evil done to you, right? Because it's the more you meditate on the thing done to you, you will either be expecting an explanation or you'll be expecting an apology. But once you knock off the evil done to you, all right, and then you're not expecting anything or you're not counting the evil done to you, it's easy for you to forgo. But if you count, because in thinking about it, how was Jesus able on the cross to say, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they do? I mean, they don't know what they're doing. He must have had to look at it, not from the angle of what they were doing. All right? He had to look at it from all these guys are doing right here is just fulfilling scripture. All right? You would have had to switch a perspective because come to think of it, how easy is it? You say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Their eyes are opened. Their hands are holding the hammer or whatever it was they're using. And then they're nailing you. All right, and then they're spitting on you, and then they put a crown of thorns on your head, and then you're saying, they don't know, they don't know. Jesus must have had to switch perspective from, I see what they're doing, all right? He must have had to switch perspective to, scripture already said these things will happen, so these guys are just pawns, all right, as it were, on the chessboard, all right? These guys are just here, all right, doing what needs to be done because it had to be done, all right? Stephen also will find him being stoned, and then Stephen said, God, do not lay this thing against their charge. I mean, why? How? Stephen must have had to look at whatever perspective. Maybe remember the words of Jesus. Just maybe. Remember the words of Jesus that Jesus said, all right, that you should pray for those who persecute you. All right? Maybe remember that at that particular point in time, because there must needs likely be a switch of perspective or a renewal of mind. If not, okay, we're going to find it a bit difficult, all right, not to take account of the evil done to us. All right? And then not to, you know, hold on to a suffered wrong, all right? So we're going to keep holding on to it because we will keep justifying the reason why we want to hold on to that suffered wrong. But when we switch, all right, because Jesus said, hey, don't greet those that greet you alone. That's what the unbelievers do, all right? You remember that in the book of Matthew, all right? Well, Luke, you know, 6, which we read within the series anyway, all right? So Jesus said to, Lord, how do I do it? How do I ignore the fact that this person is not greeting me? First point, then how do I not carry myself to go and greet the person? Ha, you think about it. Okay, Lord, how do I first of all ignore, all right, that this person is not greeting me? I greet the person, doesn't answer, all right? So the person doesn't greet me. So, Lord, it's just easy now. Nobody's greeting anybody. Stay in your lane, I stay in my lane. We're fine, all right? But the Lord now says, no, go the extra mile. So he's not expecting us to do any of these things in our own strength. And then he expects a switch in capacity. All right? Doesn't mean you not carry yourself by the person's door and start and say, hey, I've come to greet you. Thank God for WhatsApp. Thank God for SMSs. Thank God for, you know, and then public space. Thank God. You could say hi, walk away. All right? So, but the point is, if we do not renew our minds, we're going to be holding on to rights. All right, I'm older than she is. I'm da 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 than he is. I'm di 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 da 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 da. In fact, it was this person that even offended me, and I'm the one that will now go on. You know, then we meditate on a whole lot of that, and then it makes it a little more difficult for us because we'll then be empowering our flesh. We'll then be waking up our senses, and it'll be a bit more difficult for us to act according, all right, to God's word. But the word of God is saying, hey, this is what to do. This is how to switch it. All right. So because I'm having to think through, okay, how exactly are we going to do this if we don't change perspective? How exactly are we going to do this if we're not renewing our minds? I'm thinking, okay, Lord, that means the Lord wants me to see this thing differently. All right. He wants me to. I remember, all right, where Jesus said, okay, so someone offends you, go tell the person. I know we are used to someone offends us. All right. We go tell somebody else. It's almost easy. It's actually easy. It's easier that way. All right. You are unburdening yourself. All right, telling someone, can you imagine what this person did to me and all of that? But Jesus said, tell the person. Tell the person. Tell that person. All right? So you tell the person. It says, if the person doesn't listen, go again with two other church members. All right? Bring the matter before them. Tell the person. Take them to the person. Then the person's not listening. Carry the whole church to the person. Then the person's not listening. Then he says, okay, treat the person, you know, like a publican, like a non-believer. All right? So over the years, I've had to interpret that as, you know what? Just bone the person. Treat the person like the person doesn't exist. I mean, how do you treat a publican? On someone else, you know, I heard a preacher one day, and the person said, okay, so how do you treat an unbeliever? I treat an unbeliever like the unbeliever doesn't know what to do. You know, like, oh, all right. So that's, you know, so we keep renewing our minds. We keep renewing our minds. We keep, okay, so if this is the perspective from God's word, how do I keep adjusting? All right. How do I keep adjusting? It's God's word. All right. So 1 John 4, verse 7. I'm using the NLT again here. It says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. You need to notice the connection here. All right. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. All right. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I mean, John talks a lot with absolutes. And John, once again here, like he did in a number of other places, speaks in absolutes. All right. But what John is doing here, for me, is quite similar to what Paul did in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, when he's beginning to say, hey, you might express all these gifts and all these abilities. If you do not express love, it's quite a lot of noise. So John is saying there's a revelation of God that the believer has that is expressed in the love walk. I'll say that again. There's a revelation of love, I mean of God, all right, that a believer has that is expressed in the love walk. There's a revelation of God. So once again, he says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 9, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world, so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. All right? This is real love. Real love, once again, like I said earlier, is sacrificial. So you might say love, or, you know, the opposite of love is hate. But you could look at the fact that the opposite of love is selfishness. Love gives. Selfishness holds back. Love thinks of the other person. Selfishness thinks of me. All right. So hate and the rest of them now come out of having thought about me and what the person did to me, how the person did to me. Then hate and bitterness and all the rest flow forth from there. So he says, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. I mean, verse 11 now, 1 John 4. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Since God loved us that much, that means God expressed sacrificial love. All right, God, by his loving us, all right, sent his Son to take away our sins. Don't forget, Bible says love will cover the multitude of sins. So there is what love will do. There's the extent that love will go. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one, verse 12, no one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he lives in us. Furthermore, We have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father has sent his Son to be Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them and they live in God. I'm just reading through 13, 14, 15, so I'm in 16 now. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. Please note this. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. So he's saying that love is an abode, all right? Love is also a protective place, all right? As many as live in love, they live in God, and God lives in them. Popular 17 now, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, all right? So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Remember your popular, as he says, so are we in this world. But that's not where we're stopping, so I'm still going. 18, such love has no fear. And we're going to take our time to deal with this as we progress. This is important, we need to deal with. Perfect love has, you know, cast out fear. Well, I'm using the NLT again. Such love, all right, this kind of love, all right, that God has for us. There's no fear in it. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. Perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced God's perfect love. If we're afraid of judgment, if we're afraid of punishment, it means that we're not fully expressed, all right, in the perfected love that God has. 19 says, we love each other because he loved us first. King James says, we first love him. All right? We love him because he first loved us. Now, 20, I want you to take note of 20, please. 20, please take note. Please take note. Please take note. It says, if someone says, I love God, but hates his fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? I'll take 20 again. If someone says, I love God, but hate a fellow believer, that person, John says, is a liar. For if we don't love the people we see, how can you say you love God that we see? And this is so fantastic, all right? You know, so wonderful. We enjoy worship services. We kneel. We shed tears. You know, we cry and all of that. But getting up from there, how well, all right, are we, all right, walking in love with the other brother? All right. Are we known for just tongues? Are we known for just faith? Or we're also known with love together with those things, not, you know, apart from. Please understand, which I've explained from 1 Corinthians 13 quite well. All right. Because Paul, the same one who said earnestly covet the best gifts. So he didn't say abandon the best gifts. He said earnestly covet the best gifts. Then show I unto you a more excellent way. So the love work. All right, and John is popularly referred to as the apostle of love. So John is saying, listen, how do you say you love God whom you don't see and then hates on you? You know, and the truth is this, guys, no believer hates anybody because deep within our spirits is the love of God. All right, yes, in our minds, you could hate, in our minds, we're bitter, in our minds, you just, you know, but once you allow the love nature, all right, some of you might remember the story that Ken Hagin told, all right, about a particular lady. All right, a child was a bit epileptic. All right, and then in praying for the child, the Lord revealed to him that she needs to walk in love. All right, and then he got talking to her, and then she said, oh, I hate my mother-in-law. I hate my mother-in-law. And again, said, look me in the eye, say it again. Look me in the eye, say it again. All right, so she looked at him and said it. And said, how did you feel? She said, well, there's this thing that was going off inside me the more I said it. He said, yeah, because the love of God is in you. The love of God is in you. Guys, no matter how we feel, greater is the love of God inside of us, all right? No matter how we feel, the true state of us, all right, is within. That's why, you know, the prayer in Philippians chapter 1, that I love me abound yet more and more. Because offenses will come, things will come, relationships might go south, things might happen. How do you deal with it? How do you deal with an employee? How do you deal with an employer? How do you deal with a business partner who just goes south? I mean, what do you do? All right, so the love of God walks with the wisdom of God. Did you get that? The love of God walks with the wisdom of God. But we're learning the character of love, all right? Because if you remember the prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prayed that we may understand the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the love of God. I mean, It sounds like the love of God has dimensions, but not human dimensions. I mean, it's deep, basically. It's wide, it's high, and it's far. Are you getting that? The love of God is deep. It is deep. The love of God is wide. All right? The love of God is high. It's high. All right? And what's the next one again? Okay, so length, breadth, depth, and height. I mean, the love of God, it cannot be measured by, you know, a measuring tape. It's the love of God, all right? It's a fathomless, as it were, love of God. Yet again, Bible says that we may understand it. Isn't it exciting how the Bible keeps saying we should understand things that it, we're also told passes knowledge and understand it? All right, but that's just one of the mysteries, all right? And how we need to just keep fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost. So 1 John 2, and we're going to close on 1 John 2. 1 John 2, dear friends, I'm picking from verse 7. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Dear friends, I am writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it's an old one you have had from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before. Yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. Praise God. Verse 9. If anyone claims I am living in the light, but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. I'll take verse 9 again. If anyone claims I'm living in the light, but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. So what's the darkness here? You call it hate, all right? That's, you know, Bible says here, if you walk in hate, you walk in bitterness, all right? Bible says it blinds us. It blinds us, all right? It blinds us. It could lead to missteps. It could lead to you stumbling. It could lead to you taking a wrong footing on something, somewhere, all because you are blinded by that. You do not see. All right, if David was so blinded by rage in 1 Samuel 30, he would have missed helping, all right, the wounded man on the road who was the key to where they were going. All right, so we need to learn, like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down on the wrath. I'm sure you've heard over the years, we don't make the best of decisions in moments of anger. All right, we don't make the best of decisions in moments of emotional highs. All right, you need to settle yourself. See clearly, think clearly, hear clearly, and then make the best decision that way. Did you get that? We settle ourselves. So we're learning the character of love. Love has characteristics, all right? Patience, kindness. So we're going to pick these things as we move on. I believe this is being helpful, all right? Very, very, very helpful, all right, to every one of us. So please, I would like you to read through, all right? So we'll just spend time in Romans 13 today, 1 John 4. And then 1 John 2. Isn't it quite interesting? Some of you might be seeing the verse in 1 John 2 for the first time. Note once again that I used the NLT. That's a New Living Translation today. New Living Translation. So please just go through. Go through. How excited are you when you hear negative news about someone? How excited are you when you hear that someone who hurt you or offended you, all right, is now suffering, all right? How happy are you? I mean, what thrills you? You know, what tickles your fancy? I mean, we all grew up with this phrase, you know, God don't catch him, all right? God has caught the person, you know? So we grew up saying it, all right? But for the believer, is that what to say? For the believer, is that how to say? Someone says, well, I mean, and they reaping the fruit of their reward, all right? One man that beats us to that will be David, okay? So Saul had about 30 attempts on David's life from, you know, how Bible scholars had counted it, but I mean, if you think through, really, it was that many. Saul had about 30. I mean, that's amazing. All right. I mean, a king leaving his throne, leaving the enemies to his kingdom, and pursuing one brat, all right, with all his soldiers, with the best of his men, that king must have been highly, highly distracted. All right. All of a sudden, David was his pursuit. David was, I mean, he goes to war. He's thinking about David. He's pursuing David. He's everything. David even killed priests, you know. Saul killed priests. God's own priests, all because of David. All because he felt they were hiding something about David. You know, he killed priests. I mean, he was so blinded by rage. He was so blinded by jealousy. He was so blinded by the love shared between David and Jonathan, was so blinded by the possibility that David will take over from him, was so blinded, right, by the fact that the women were hailing David. He was just blinded by so many things, and then that became the object of his pursuit. It became the object of his, you know, of his passion, and it was just gross distraction. And then we find David still honoring King Saul in the midst of this. And this, guys, is classic. How many of you would still want to honor the person who wants to hurt you, irrespective of whatever good the person might have done in time past? How many of us would want to do that? But David kept on saying, we cannot do this thing against the Lord's anointed. All right? So it's interesting that the anointing you value is not just the anointing on your own life. All right? You know, it's not just, oh, I'm going to sing, I have an opportunity to preach, all right, so I need to value the anointing on my life. No, you value the grace of God on the lives of other people, right? You value the shoulders you climbed on to get to where you are. I mean, you just have a value for people. It's just value, all right? And it begins from the heart, all right? Not actions all the time, but the heart. Because if David had gone wrong in his heart, when his men said to him, listen, this day the Lord had delivered your enemy into your hand, seesaw here, one blow, the man is dead. All right, David could have just said, well, do as the Lord pleases, be led. No, that's not the time to say be led. That's the time to say, God is not leading us in this one. All right, we will not strike our finger against the Lord anointed. And even when David caught, you know, part of Saul's skirt, he felt bad about it. His conscience smote him. All right, and then you know the end of the story. All right, Saul, and Jonathan, they're killed on the battlefront. News comes to David. The guy claims he killed them. And David, you know, had the sword fall upon the guy. Why? How could you? While you think it is good news for me, how could you? How in your wildest dreams, even if they got you drunk, how could you, all right, think of doing such against the Lord's anointed? And David didn't stop there. David cried. David cursed the ground upon which Saul died. And none of this, guys, none of this was eye service. This was just a heart. No wonder God said, David is a man after my heart. David is a man after my heart, all right? You have to value, all right? Value God's grace upon people. Value God's grace, you know? For those of you singing, you go up, you sing. Maybe another singer goes up. And then there was just this grace present, all right? And then you feel, that one didn't happen when I was singing. Make sure, for your destiny's sake, all right? Switch quickly. Right, hug the person, sow a seed if you have to. Wow, that was beautiful. I appreciate God for you. And when you're on your own and those thoughts come back to you again, say a prayer. And it doesn't have to be more than 30 seconds. Lord, you keep her. Lord, you keep him. All right, that they will last for you. They will do well for you. Not up to 30 seconds of prayer. Not up to 30 seconds. You're at the office, someone does a presentation. You don't have to suddenly, you know, pray that the next time he or she wants to talk, the person is going to croak like a frog. You know, rag up, rag up, rag up, rag up. All right, so that, you know, the person's presentation is just all messed up. Or is the person's turn and projector is not working, you know, and that's when power goes out. And before, you know, they just say, okay, time has gone. Next presentation, and then it's you, and then you're ready to blow the place up by the power of the Holy Ghost. Someone else doesn't have to trip to fall. All right, love does no evil to his neighbor, if you remember Romans chapter 13. Love does no evil, but to do no evil means you did not think the evil. All right, that means love will think no evil against his neighbor. The person doesn't have to, you know, do badly in the presentation for you to excel. You could both do well, and then the favor of God still picks you out. It's not until somebody flops. It's not until someone's business burns down or someone's shop burns down. It's not until something evil. All right, and the word malice, and when we get into Galatians, we'll look at that better. All right, it's way beyond our modern day understanding of not talking. It's evil thinking. All right, in the Greek, it's evil thinking. When you think ill towards someone, you know, I've advised her, she's not listening. Something can even happen, then she'll now learn. You know, it's evil thinking. It's evil thinking, and it's not love work. So guard your thoughts against evil thinking. All right? Guard your thoughts against evil thinking. They just keep slamming the door. One day, you just jam your hand in that door. God will catch you. You will learn. Just jam your hand. You will learn. You will learn. And we, humanly thinking, we feel, yeah, that's the best way to learn. But no. All right? His rod and his staff, they comfort us. Hallelujah. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. So we need to ward our minds off evil thinking. Ward our minds off evil thinking. Ward our minds, all right? So love will not do evil against the neighbor, meaning love will not think evil against the neighbor. Think well, think well, think well. Even if you need to correct, love corrects. Even if to punish, love will still chastise. So love punishes, right? Love deals with situations and circumstances. Love does that. But the whole essence of all chastisement of love is improvement. All right? Whom the Lord loves, he chastises. So the essence of the chastising, the essence of the correcting of the child is so that the child is right. All right? Bible says stubbornness will abound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it out. So it's not that you're beating the child to satisfy yourself. I'm going to satisfy my anger and my wrath on this child today. No. It's love saying, I am beating you. I mean, I remember, Casey Price, said many years ago that when he needed to, scold his kids or maybe whip them, he would say to them that this is going to hurt me more than it will hurt you. All right? I mean, some of you might have heard such statements in the movies. All right? He said he would say to his children because that was the truth for him. He never wanted to spank them, but the word of God says, I need to do it. I mean, he said he had literally at the time had to drag his daughter, all right, by her hair out of the house to go to church. Literally. He said he had to pull her by her hair. And he said he tells them, this hurts me more than it will hurt you. This hurts me. All right? And when looking back, I mean, the man has all his children in ministry with him. All of them is in ministry with him. Now, must everybody be active in ministry? Some might be asking. The answer is, it just shows, listen, that they went all the way with Jesus Christ. Okay? Let's just put it that way. They went all the way. They went all the way with Jesus Christ, every one of them. All right, from not wanting to go to church to now being forefront in the things happening in the kingdom of God. That's just it. That's just it. All right, so correction ideally hurts. It hurts the person correcting. All right, it's not out of a hand. See, I'm going to show you today, so all those kinds of stuff. Praise God. So learning the character of love, all right, how we need to learn and to define love from God's word, how we need to understand love very, very well. From God's word. I believe this has been helpful. Please feel free. You could share with a friend. Let it bless somebody. Take notes. You could listen to it again and again between now, Sunday morning. And please, 7 a.m. Or online. I'm sure you know the leaders must have said that to you a few times. Morning Faith Boost. It's been helpful. People are listening from different places. All right. So it's been helpful. Let it bless you also. Let it help you also. Let it inspire you. So Sunday morning, we'll meet again for church. And please have it in mind, Sunday evening, if you've been missing the Influence of the Spirit special, it's on our YouTube page. So please go to YouTube, Lion Rex Anosie, and watch, all right, the last three editions of the Influence of the Spirit special. Or right here on Spreaker, just that place above where you're listening that has Lion Rex Anosie there. You could click it. It takes you fully to the page. All right, it takes you fully to the page where you can now see the other shows we have there. So you could check for Influence of the Spirit. Check for Morning Faith Boost. Just look around. I mean, there's so much word to feast on. Is that okay? So much word to feast on. So on Sunday, I'd say we'll need to talk about a day, all right, that we'll just set. Maybe every 2 weeks or every month, I'll talk to leaders about it. So I will just know, okay, this is offering day. But if for any reason, all right, you say, oh, I'm not going to wait for that, I can as well give. I believe on your different platforms, there would have been, I mean, several times where the account details have been pasted. If you don't have it, ask one of the leaders. They'll be, so excited to give it to you. And give. We need to learn to give. All right, we give to those who feed us spiritually. We give to men that belong to the household of faith. And then we give also to all men. Always have these three in mind. And please don't forget, keep spreading faith, hope, and love. Father, we thank you for an amazing service this evening. We thank you because your love, all right, is being revealed to us, all right? The character of your love, the capacity within us to love, is being revealed to us again and again. Thank you for by your Spirit we're strengthened, and by your Spirit we cultivate this beautiful, beautiful nature that is yours, and we thank you. We thank you. We're learning it. We're growing. We're maturing. We're maturing, and we thank you. I speak increase and blessings and favor to every listener. I declare that the rest of your week is filled with favor, filled with illumination. You will see clearly. You will hear clearly. You will know the steps God will have you take. I declare your steps are led away from evil, and you are led fully into abundance and plenty. You will not be there when evil will strike, but you'll be there when good will happen. I declare that your name speaks favor. Your name is a sweet smell and a sweet, sweet hearing in the ears of people that will do you good. I speak blessings, increase, favor, and great revelation upon you and to you this season in the name of Jesus. Have a very, 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 very beautiful evening. All right. Bye.
Sing hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing hallelujah.